Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of BS Car Guys Podcast. Tonight, we have a special episode with a special guest in the podcast, on the podcast with us. It's Olivia Thompson, a friend of mine from Asheboro, probably more so a friend of my wife's. I'll let her introduce herself and give a little of her backstory. I don't know a whole lot about her other than the fact, and this is probably the most interesting thing, she's from Iceland.
I'm not from Iceland.
Oh.
My mother is.
Her mother is from Iceland, which in her mind makes her the closest person I've ever met from Iceland.
Me too. Also, fun fact, I didn't realize this until just now, is Olivia is going to be talking about her EV ownership experience. And the person who I know, a very similar car, his last name is Thompson.
Wow. How about that?
Look at that. But anyway, that's enough of us talking, you know, because when we have guests on here, we try to let them speak. Right, Bill?
That's right. We try to.
So introduce yourself, Olivia.
As Bill said, I'm Olivia Thompson. I live here in Asheville, and yes, I'm more of a friend of his wife than him. But he knew that a while back that I had ordered this Mustang GT Mach-E. So, and waited. I ordered it September the 22nd, and it didn't come in until July the 16th. Oof. Luckily, we had another car that I could drive during that time period, you know, because we had to sell my car to get it.
Wow, that's a long time to wait. So was that because you ordered a GT and they just weren't producing GTs?
Well, they were producing them, but they were waiting on the chip from China
before
they could fix it.
Gotcha.
And the Thompson I know had a similar experience because he ordered his the fall before they came out, and he received this car that spring. So, yeah.
Wow.
We're talking about 2021 when I ordered it.
Oh.
So you ordered it in September of 21 and got it in July of...
No, I ordered it in 22, sorry. I ordered it September of 22 and got it in July of 22.
Okay. So
actually, that's the same time frame. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the podcast. Like, we both, like, around the same exact time, both were like, guess what? I know somebody that just ordered a Mach-E GT. And, like, we both, like, the same week almost. So it was really interesting. And he had a less than great experience with his EV also. Stanley, do you want to recap that for her?
Yeah, I was just talking to her a little bit before you got on here because, you know, you was herding cats. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. That's not a part of the podcast.
Yeah, you brought it up.
On purpose. my friend Dave, he ordered a Mach-E GT around about the same time as you. And recently, so I'm going to go ahead and say about 3 months ago, he had a... Yeah, actually, it was longer than that. Last September, October, the car wouldn't start. It wouldn't start up. It wouldn't go. And we was at work, and so he had it towed. They had to come get the special guy to come pick it up and tow it and stuff. But they said it was this high power converter that was bad, and it was going to take a pretty good amount of time to get it fixed. So he was getting frustrated with the situation because there wasn't a whole lot of communication. And so he eventually decided to trade his Mach-E back into that dealership. And essentially he got his car that he traded that car in for. So he had a Ford Edge ST that they were sitting on for the whole time he had his Mach-E. And it was still at the dealership. So he got his old car back. And he was happy again. But the bad part about all of this was the fix that they said was going to take months and months and months to fix. It took roughly 2 to 3 weeks, and then they had that car for sale again at that same dealership. So my theory
with a much larger markup because it was used and in demand more so by that time.
Yeah, yeah. It was about, if my memory serves me correctly, it's about $8,000 more than he paid for it that they were listing it for. And so my theory was they just wanted that car back. And my other theory about that was nobody was going to buy it. And it holds true because it is still there and it's still for sale to this day. And wow. I hope they do not sell it. I hope that dealership, that car is there when they close that dealership down.
Oh, man. Well, so before I ask this question, I'll just say that that failure of the high voltage battery junction box is the number one fault of Mach-E's. So it is the number one reported cause for a return to dealership of all of the vehicles that have been having that have had to go back, which is, I think we're into the almost thousands at this point. So it's kind of interesting. They've sold 27,000 in 22. And of those 27,000, like nearly 1,000 have went back to the dealer. So anyway, Olivia, let's ask you some questions. So you like cars. You've owned some pretty cool cars. I was a big fan of your Volvo. I like the Volvo. And my first question that I usually like to ask everybody when they come on the show is, what was your first car?
My first car was a piece of junk, but it was a Honda Civic. Very first car.
Do you remember what kind of Civic? Hatchback, four-door, two-door?
It had four doors. It had four doors because of insurance purposes. You know, you got to have four doors when you first drive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have a Ranger.
Then I was driving my parents' car.
Well, see, so Bill said you had some pretty cool cars. So what was your coolest car, in your opinion?
What's your favorite car you've owned?
Bill, he's asking you.
No, he's not asking me. He knows my cars.
I know Bill's cars. I'm not even talking to Bill. Bill's not even here right now. I'm talking to him.
I'm herding a cat.
Okay. My favorite car was my BMW.
Stanley's a BMW man. What was your BMW?
A Y, was it? Or an X? Or,
an X SUV?
It's a CD5, you know, and the ride is awesome in a BMW. It's just...
Uh-oh. She dropped out. There we go. You came back. We lost video there for a second, but you came back. I don't know if we still have audio.
So I'm guessing she was driving one of the X's. You know, that's a good thing because, you know, all the X's are built in South Carolina. And when Olivia does come back, she'll finish selling us by the X or in the Mach-E that, you know, did her wrong.
Yeah.
But
if you are still with us, your video dropped out and that's fine, but you're on mute. So you can just unmute and hop back. But the X's are nice SUVs. And the last SUV that I remember her having was the Volvo XC90. But you're on mute. Are you good? You're muted. You're muted.
There. Can you hear me?
There
now?
You go. Yeah. Okay. We got you back.
All right. Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. Hey, this is your first time. Yeah.
That's right.
You know what? I was going to say something. I'm going to keep it to myself. We are all adults here.
If you go back and listen to our first podcast, we had a lot of connection issues. Okay. So let me ask you about the Mach-E. Did you want the GT specifically for the performance or the looks, or what was the reason for wanting the GT more than
the performance? I mean, the look, because I got the cyber orange.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And my husband said it looked like a school bus, but
I'll screen share the picture so Stanley can see the car.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, that was a wreck I had before, after the trailer hitch.
Oh, well, it looked like it used to be pretty.
It got a little bit of a dimple.
So let's get into the story of what happened.
What happened first with the trailer hitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. September the 2nd, I was getting ready to go to the Great Wolf Lodge with my grandkids. And I was going down Zoo Parkway, and somebody had like an industrial trailer hitch, you know, with the balls and the knobs and all in the middle of the road. There was cars coming on Zoo Parkway in that curve, and there was somebody in front of me and behind me. So there was no other way but to hit that thing. And it got dented. But, you know, you would think that they would have a cover over the battery, especially with a car being that light, to protect that battery. But they don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we can see in the picture here the little plastic. So the only real protection is this little plastic air dam, which really offers no impact protection at all.
That's weird because, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, Bill, you and I talk about cars all the time. And especially like in the GM thing comes to mind, and they have like a 1-inch thick piece of metal between the battery and the daggone. That's weird. Why? That's bad design.
It's especially being that low, because there's so many things that you can hit with the bottom of that. You know,
yeah.
And I think the Tesla that I was driving before this did have a cover over their battery.
It did. It does. It does. Huh. That is weird. So you ran over this hitch and it damaged the battery. And obviously we had some body damage on the side. But
that was later. But when I hit it, I took it to them right after I hit it, like on the 5th. And the body shop looked at it and then sent me on. They said, yeah, it's dented. But I didn't drive it in the rain because I was afraid it had a crack in it.
Did you notice any difference in like battery performance after?
No. And, you know, it was charging fine. Because, you know, I charge it from home.
Yeah.
So it was taking charging and everything. then I went to my doctor's office on the October the 24th, and that happened on the way home. It was still drivable.
So maybe it does have some covering over the battery. It got to have some kind of covering on the battery. Maybe that part that we saw is covering over the covering. In the battery.
Yeah, case. That's what I'm looking is to see if there's what there is under there. And I found a picture on a forum it looks like it's maybe some aluminum plating under there. But I also found three companies selling aftermarket vehicle underbody protection plates to give it a little more like thicker protection, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, so if there's a vehicle out there, somebody's selling something to make it do better, that probably ain't going to help. But, you know, but anyway, yeah. So now you had this incident with the car. You had the second incident with your car. And
right after that, we took it to Green Ford when I had the wreck. We drove it right off because it was in High Point where I was. We just drove on over to Greensboro and dropped it at Green Ford.
And what did they say about how long it was going to take to fix the car?
They didn't give us a time frame.
Wow.
But they did fix it. And I was able to bring it home on the 20th of December. I was able to bring it home for Christmas.
Okay.
And it was after that. And I was still not driving it in the rain because I was still afraid because they didn't touch the battery.
So they only repaired the door and front fender damage.
Exactly.
Okay.
So while we were driving it, you know, around Christmas, you know, the front end was acting weird and there was a lot of noise coming from the side door. So we took it back up there on January the 16th, and it's been there ever since. But what? The battery was damaged. I had to replace a couple of cells in the battery.
So they did have to replace themselves. They let me drive
with battery that was damaged, you know? And if I would have driven in the rain, it would have exploded, would it not? I mean, would like caught on fire or something? You would think.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would have been safe if the battery cell itself was punctured, which, I mean, if they had to replace a cell, it sounds like it probably was.
Yeah, because, if I'm not a chemist, I will preface this by saying that.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, but I think people already knew this. I know when the last hurricane that happened in Florida, there was an advisory that went out to all those people who had EVs that salt water and that battery chemistry did not mix well.
And have you guys seen that video of all those EVs on that container ship?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It was an Audis too, right?
Yeah, that's pretty rough looking.
Yeah. So I know salt water has an impact. I don't know about fresh water too much, but at the same time, when a vehicle is so new, is so new to the market, so new to people's minds, I mean, because this is your first EV, you would think, you know, you would think that they would have told you, it's like, hey, if we checked the battery has damage. The first time when you took it there, we checked the battery, the battery is damaged. So we're going to fix that before we hand you this car back that, you know, the company that we sell cars for so desperately need to be a success, because this is the direction that the company is moving into. But so you would think there'd be somebody out there in somebody's ear. It's like, hey, let's take care of these people who bought these cars to ensure that they have a good experience so they can tell their friends so they can come buy other cars. But evidently, that's not the thing.
No, it sounds like
it's not cheap to replace batteries either. You know, the full battery is like $25,000, but our estimate to the penny was $17,664 just for the battery.
Well, they should have just went ahead and replaced the whole thing at that point. I'm just
I told them, so, I said, why didn't they total it? But they wouldn't total it. The insurance company didn't total it.
Wow. So for the little bit of damage that we see on the underside of your car there, where that one cell was damaged, that was a $17,000 repair.
Yes.
Yeah, because if Bill, remind me, now we'll probably look it up. I know GM's battery pack is like you can take cells out and it's more modular. I don't know about the Fords, especially this one.
Well, they had a bunch of numbers, but they said it was case and front drive unit is what was being replaced.
Huh. Oh, so they said the front drive unit would need to be replaced too.
So they replaced the whole front motor?
I said drive unit.
Yep, that's that sounds like motor to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't remember, is the GT, is it a dual motor or
is it?
Yeah, okay. So front motor and a rear motor. So it would have been replacing the front drive unit would be the front motor. Good gracious. No wonder it was $17,000.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it must have hit the motor and a battery. Which then I'm really surprised you weren't getting like drive faults and other issues.
There wasn't no alerts or anything on the dash or anything that would come up. You know, it's got that big honking screen. That's one thing I don't like about it, is that big tablet. It's huge.
Right.
It almost makes me, this is the conspiracy theorist in me. It almost sounds like that The battery may have been damaged, and that could be the case. But it almost sounds like that's more the battery is protected and may have received some damage. But if the front drive motor got, maybe they aren't the front drive motor doesn't have anything that's kind of protecting it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm wondering as well, because if I'm looking at, let me pull this thing up right quick.
Yeah, so I was looking for underbody pictures.
I'm going to screen share this thing again. So this is a company that I found that makes EV car protection kits. And this is the underside of a Mach-E. And there's your drive unit. There's your drive unit right there. So this is how it looks from the factory. And then this is installing their kit.
That's exactly what I was thinking right there.
Yeah, so it's a
skit. Came with that.
Well, for sure, yeah. It should have came with that. So here's what it would look like with it. And I guarantee you, yours has a plastic, very flimsy plastic cover, which is what we see hanging down in that picture. And instead, it gets replaced with this beefier aluminum unit.
Yeah.
That probably still would have gotten jacked up when you ran over that thing, but it would have saved your...
But you'd rather not get jacked up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember looking at, looking at the underbody of the, the Hummer, right?
Yeah.
And the whole underside of it is flat because it, you know, it got this thick, it's like you can't get to the motors and stuff. But now that I recall when I was behind that F-150 Lightning the other day, I remember seeing the electric motor from the back of that car. Well, it looked as if it was the electric motor from the back of that car. So from the back of that truck. So maybe they need to rethink this. Well, Ford need to rethink how they're protecting these motors and batteries and stuff. But yeah, that just, I don't want this to sound weird when I say it, but at least you had a real problem. Hey, I did something, this condition existed, I hit this piece, you know, I got in an accident, and by the grace of God, everybody's okay. But, you know, something happened, and then the car broke. But, like, with Dave, all of a sudden, he just went out one day, and the car was just broke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
wow.
And looking at the forums, that's what I keep reading is, I woke up and I had 42 messages on my Ford app saying I had a charging fault, and all of a sudden it just stopped charging and it won't work. And that's like, I read a bunch of those already, that's what happened to people. So I was looking here at how the battery pack is configured, and it does say there are 376 cells in the extended range. I don't know what the difference would be in a GT. In the standard, it's 288 cells.
I've got the performance one. I've got the...
Right.
Yeah.
Extended.
GT.
So I can have more miles to drive.
It doesn't say how many cells are in a GT versus the extended range. So let's just call it 376.
Yeah.
But it looks like all your damage would have been right here on the drive unit and maybe at the very front of the battery pack itself.
Yeah. Well, so you had this experience with this Mach-E GT, and from, you know, I'll talk before and a little bit here, it sounds like you liked the car a lot, but then you had this problem, and, you know, dealerships being dealerships in 2023, they didn't seem to be much help to make you feel comfortable in kind of waiting for the car, you know, or like getting your car back. So you went and got something else?
No, I'm not actually some of the cars that we actually own right now.
Oh, so you are waiting on your car?
I still am waiting on my car, yes, sir.
Oh, cool. So you like the car that much that you're still dealing with the dealership. See, this is the difference between you and I, you and me and Bill, because we would have jumped ship because we're impatient.
100%. Yeah, that thing would have been, I'm done. We stopped and tried to get Tokyo Express last night. And after waiting after waiting 10 minutes to order and 25 minutes with no food, I went back up there and was like, all right, I'm going to need a refund. And they're like, oh, we're boxing it now. We're boxing it now. And then I stood there and waited at the register for five more minutes. And I was ready for a refund. If it takes you 30 minutes to get me my food at a place called Tokyo Express,
you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Absolutely. So have they given you a timeline as of yet? How long are you just waiting?
No, we got an email on May the 5th said that they were waiting on one part still.
Well,
but see, they didn't have any of the parts until after I posted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like 2 weeks later, bam, they're getting some parts in.
Yeah.
So have you filed a formal complaint with Ford Motor Company of America? Like, have you contacted Ford directly?
No.
So when I was having, and it probably doesn't do you much good now, but if you are still waiting on one part, so when I was having my issues with my truck and the dealership was unable to correctly diagnose the problem, was for whatever reason, equipment, skill set, whatever. And then they told me that I needed to pay for an entire vehicle wiring harness. Yeah, so that they could see if that fixes the problem. I said, no. I said, you can order one and you can plug it in and see if it works, but I'm not paying for it. Yeah. And then they said, well, it's actually two pieces and one of them's on back order. So even if that is it, it's going to take us a couple months to get. And I said, okay, I'm calling Ford. And so I called Ford and lodged a complaint. And they've started a case number for me and they expedited the part order. Turns out it didn't need those parts because that wasn't the problem. but that was the thing. And then me threatening the dealership with the lemon law on it because they'd been at the dealership for so long and so many times for the same problem, it met the criteria. Between those two things, contacting Ford directly and then telling the dealership they were buying my truck back, that was the only way I got it fixed as quickly as I did.
Yeah. I'm surprised Kendra hadn't told you. It's like, you know, Bill had this problem and and he did this, because I know how ladies get, you know.
Here's the thing though. Kendra's not going to go around talking about cars at any level to anybody because cars are not her thing.
Just GA.
That's right. Cars are not her thing. She's not going to go around talking about cars. So that's not on her to-do list.
But, hopefully this is all going to work out for you and you get your, as your husband called it, your school bus back. I think it's a good, bold statement. So there.
So let me ask you this question. Having had the Tesla, which was the Model Y, correct?
Yeah.
And, oh, you had a Model Y too? Wait a minute.
The Mach-E GT for the little bit of time you had the Mach-E GT. Which did you prefer? Like, give us your impressions on both vehicles.
The seats in the Tesla are not comfortable. You know, and I'm older and my back has issues.
You are not older. I'm looking at you right now. You are not older.
Well, all it has is those vegan seats in it, you know, and it's no cushiony, or you would think there'd be more of a like a captain kind of cushion chair, at least in the front, and it wasn't. And you know, the Tesla, I think it's more of a play toy because of all the things you can do with it, you know, make the horn sound like a fart, and you know,
yeah,
and the kids can play games on the screen as you go down the road, you can sing car karaoke going down the road, things like that.
So it's a bit more of a gimmick. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I thought it was more of a plaything. Now, my grandkids loved it, but but it just wasn't comfortable. It sat higher, though, you know, as far as being able to get in and out of. The seat could adjust you to where you could get out more comfortably out of the car. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting to me that the Model Y has a higher ride height than the Mustang, So, well, maybe that's because the Mach-E, though, is the GT, right? Yeah, is it a lower?
Yes. So GT is to be just like the Shelby.
Well, actually, I'm not surprised because, you know, when they turned the Model 3 into the Model Y, they put these stands. They didn't, like, have a whole new seat. They just built these little adapters so they can put the Model 3 seat on top of. Just for it to be higher. So yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense. I saw a young lady the other day, and she was driving a Model X, and I don't see Model X's that often. And I looked at it, and my wife looked. She looked and was like, "What is that?" I was like, "Oh, that's Tesla Model X." I was like, "Yeah, that's about $150,000-$160,000." And she's like, "Why is the fender waving at me?" And like one of the chrome pieces was like dangling. And I was like, I don't know if I should blame that on Tesla or I should blame that on because, you know, and that goes to this question. It's like, because we, you know, we hear the rumors that, you know, the Tesla isn't really put together that well.
And right.
It's cheap feeling for how much you pay for it. How? Did you have that same feeling?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and we bought it used, but because people are like buying them random when they got there, and then they drove them while they were ordering another one, and then they made a profit on selling it to the dealership because they were hard to get a hold of then. So, but what we paid for it, you know, is about the same as what we got 60 out of it, and we paid 70 for the Mustang GT.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I know the whole flipping thing with cars in the last couple of years has been a thing.
Yeah, it's a weird time to be a car flipper because prices are all over the place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is going to be my last question. Bill may have some follow-up questions. So now that we hear you, you are squarely in this EV game. You're on your second one, and you like it so much that you're waiting on them to fix your Mach-E. And I'm going to give you all the both thumbs up for waiting because I wouldn't have been that patient.
No.
How is your overall experience just owning and driving an EV every day? Because I know we have our conversations about charging infrastructures, and my argument is if you're charging at home, you never have to go to, you ain't got to deal with that stuff mostly. And but you know, you as especially on your second one, how has it worked out for you?
Yeah, I don't work, so I don't really have to drive it that much. But when like I'm out and about, and the battery would start going low, and you need to charge it. This area in Asheboro only has one supercharging unit thing here.
Wow.
And it's there at McDonald's. Yes.
We're small town.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Y'all are a suburb of the big city. Y'all should have more than one.
Yeah. Nope.
And then coming through, coming back from Charlotte one day, John and I needed to get some, and we had to go. There was like 40 minutes out of the way to get to a charging station from 85. So,
yeah. Wow.
The stations are hard to find.
So, yeah. So the infrastructure is still not great around here.
But you charge your car, if you are home in local area, you charge your car at home.
Yes. Yes.
So did you purchase like a Tesla home charging? I mean, I'm sure John just wired in some stuff for you, but or did you just go for like a generic and that, I mean, I guess what's the difference between using a unit for a Ford versus a Tesla, or did you have to get a different charger for the Ford or?
Yeah, we got the Tesla wall unit and then of course the plugs are different.
Yep.
So we got an adapter for the Ford plug to go on to the Tesla so we could charge from home.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you're still
it's
using
like
a Tesla.
$45 for an adapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have, and you know, I have, I don't know nobody who's on their second one, but I know a couple of people who drive Teslas, and I knew actually I know somebody who has a Bolt now. He's a pretty cool guy. And all of them, they rant and rave. It's like, you know what I don't do? Go to gas stations. You know who's happier for this? Me. And one of them is like, dude, I lost weight by not going to gas stations, because every time I stop at a gas station, I go in there and get a big gulp or a Slurpee or something.
Yeah, I don't go in. I don't go in gas stations.
And we got, I know y'all got sheets and stuff up there, but we have these things called Parker's Kitchens and Spinx. And it's another one. And all of them got these big eateries on the inside. It's hard to walk in there and walk out without getting, because I'm telling you right now, this, I'm going on record, I might get hate for this, but the chicken sandwich at Spinx is,
Don't say it's better.
I ain't gonna say it because you know it's better than the Jangles.
No,
it's better than
chicken and pickles.
It's chicken and pickles.
Is it better than that?
Yes.
There's
it comes
no
with
way.
A sauce on it, man. It comes with a sauce already on it, and it's. Nope. I'm telling you, man. It's different.
I can't believe you're telling me a gas station sandwich is better.
I will give it this. Maybe I feel that way because I've eaten maybe one too many of the fillets.
The chicken and pickles.
The chicken and pickles.
Chicken pickle.
Yeah.
Oh man, I have a hard time.
It's just bread, chicken, and pickles.
So Olivia, let me ask you one last car related question.
All right.
If you could own any car, what would it be?
A BMW.
Another X5?
Yeah. I really would. Only thing I don't like about it is the dust that comes off the brake and it gets in your rims all the time. That's the drawback on it, because it looked horrible. It did it also with the Volvo.
And you don't have that issue with the Mach-E, but I guess maybe because it has regenerative braking.
Yeah, because you're really using the brakes, the physical brakes.
And I got red caliper brakes on the Mustang.
Ah, yeah.
Well, if I can get, I have a friend that say, I said I had what, that was my last question, but I got something else to say because that's normal. I have a friend that he had a bad experience at a Mercedes dealership, and then they went across the street and bought a BMW. And that was maybe about 15 years ago and like 7 BMWs ago.
Wow.
And she will not drive a car that does not have a BMW badge on it.
That's interesting.
The ride is awesome.
She currently has an X7. And she's like, yeah, she had two X5s, and now she's on an X7. It's like, I ain't getting nothing else until they come out with like a 9.
Well, you know, they make the BMW in a hybrid.
Yeah, so it's square. Have you seen it?
Yeah, you don't like the square look?
I mean, the square box right now.
SUVs are supposed to be boxy.
Well, I would imagine, you know, they build them all in South Carolina. So, you know, they just send us pamphlets and stuff and tell us what they're doing. Not really,
but
that's what I'm going to tell people. I am 100% certain that the X7 and the X5 will both have pure electric models in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Really?
What? Just because people who work there. Got it. They got the tool up there. Matter of fact, if you were looking back at Volvos, I know that the EX90, they're already kind of, they've done the tooling up and stuff for that. So that's another big SUV that you can look at that's going to be an EV as well. And then And then the Polestar mod, Polestar 3. They're good.
Is that going to be a SUV?
It shares a platform with the EX90.
Okay.
It's sportier looking.
Gotcha.
But yeah. I mean, the future is bright. You know, if you ever want to get out your school bus, you know.
Yeah. Now, I'm just going through midlife, I think.
There you go. Now, what's the car culture like? Because I know you guys try to go every couple of years to Iceland. What's the car culture there like? Are EVs really big there right now?
No, they don't really do EV because of the wind and stuff. You know, one time we were there in the winter time and the wind whipped up to 90 miles per hour.
Wow.
So we had to stay in place, you know, because if you open a car door, it's going to rip it right off. They said, be careful when you open up your door. And they said it would move. And it also can't, by the time it fights all that wind and stuff, you're stranded and with no electricity, you know, because it wouldn't last as long as it does for us here in the States.
Yeah.
So they're still driving stick gears over there.
Yeah. Yeah. and modified like SUVs with like 54-inch tires on them to go across the volcanic rock and snow and. Yeah, I definitely want to go there and do some
paved roads. But you know, there's a lot of the dirt off rail trails that'll give you a shortcut if you go through there. But
that's right. I'm all about those shortcuts.
You gotta be careful going around the corners because they don't have like fencing like we do in a lot of places. They're just a pole here, and then about a couple feet more, there's a pole, and you got like a 90-foot drop over here that you could go off the road. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. See, that sounds like we need to book a trip to Iceland, man.
I would love to go.
You can fly out of Raleigh. One way.
Who wants to?
I mean, straight.
Nobody wants to go to Raleigh. Nobody goes to Raleigh on purpose.
That's not true. I go all the time.
Oh, man.
Definitely not true.
Well, Olivia, thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us and talking about cars and giving us, giving the people a different voice to hear. And
you'll have to give us an update or send me a message when it finally gets fixed so we can report that to everybody.
Or in see how it's driving and how it charges after that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But cool.
So do you still want Mach-E's for your company to drive there, Bill?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, I don't think so. I thought it would have been a really good idea for probably like the Polestar 2s. I don't think the Mach-E, I don't know that it's quite the same. I don't know. I just think the Polestar 2 would have been a better fit. But because I don't think it was
quite... that you were talking about that at one.
Yeah, yep. And I think the president of our company even looked into doing it for some of our applications people. Like we have like different sectors or different groups of people who do different things in the company. And so instead of just the machine sales, the applications guys, I think it was a little smaller group and it looked at maybe doing it for them. But it's just the initial buying cost is so high that it really takes several years before your return on investment is a lot different. So anyway, we'll just keep paying everybody a monthly stipend.
I told you, man, come down here and talk to these people because they have company cars out here all the time. Volvo is giving them, is doing it.
I know.
But, I mean, they gave a couple of them away to the sheriff departments down here.
Did they really?
Oh yeah.
As long as you can run further than about 200 miles, then you're good because they'll run out of range.
Well, you can't even charge it to the full limit. They say for you to charge it, you know, not fully because if you do, it'll work better.
Yeah, that's right. So Audi is the only brand that does it a little differently. Like Volkswagen Audi's batteries, they actually are a little more apt to let you go from 0 to 100, but everybody else recommends like power charging, so you're doing between 20 and 80.
Yeah.
But you know, you can feel, speaking of the numbers like that, you can drive 60 in 3.4 seconds in that Mustang, and you can feel it. It's like you're blasting off into space. It's, you could get the jump on somebody if you were racing, but in the long term, you wouldn't be able to hang with them. But at the very beginning, you could get that jump on them.
That instant torque.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
don't get the Ford Lightning truck because they don't they don't even have a radio that works or either heater or air conditioning when they come and get them. There's people out there that's got those trucks without that.
I find that fascinating. I shared that last week that those things are shipping without those items and the dealership has to install them, and that's just crazy.
Yeah. Crazy ain't the word.
Get my boombox back out and sit it beside.
Yeah, considering the amount of money you spend on those things. I mean, that's insane.
It is. It's crazy. But thank you for letting me event and tell everybody about my story.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you on the show.
And hopefully this helps the parts get there a little faster.
Yeah, I doubt it. But, you know, that's right. It's always good to be wishful thinking is what they say, right?
Wishful thinking.
Hey. All right. Well, have a good evening.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, everybody, that was Olivia and Olivia's story. And we will be sure to give you an update when we hear an update. Hopefully she gets her school bus back pretty quick.
That's right. That's right. All right, man. We'll do this again sometime.
All right. I love you, bro.
I love you, too. Later.
Later.